Your name is the I Am. Because you never were not. You always were. You've always been there. You've always existed. And so, Lord, we come before you and we just delight in who you are. We're so amazed at who you are. We're so amazed at what you've done for us. And Lord, as Lewison shared, I just think about the hope that we do have, that the tomb is empty, and that Christ is risen. And that is our hope. We look forward to someday overcoming death, rising with you, rising to meet you as well. And so we thank you, Lord, for reminding us for that hope that we have in you this morning. And Lord, we come before you right now, Lord, to lift up the needs of our church. We just ask that you would continue to watch over us, bless us, guide us. We thank you so much for the EDB retreat that we had yesterday. We thank you so much for all these men and women who give so much to serve your kingdom, to lift up and build up this body of Christ here. And we just pray you continue to lead us and guide us as a church. Lord, we do pray as well for those in our church who are struggling. We think of Aaron Diala's mom, and we just pray for her healing from her cancer. We think of Stephen and Cheryl's son, Spencer. Would you heal him as well? God, we think of our brother, Jeff Chester, who's been struggling with looking for a job, and also his brother Tim's heart condition. We pray for them as well. We lift them up to you and ask you to provide for their needs, that you'd provide healing for Tim. Lord, we think of the three college students, Lord, who need to be reconciled to their families. We pray for healing. We pray for reconciliation. We pray for forgiveness, that you'd bring these families back together again. We think of all the college students who are starting up at ASU this coming week, and especially those who are international students or freshmen. Lord, we pray that you would just bless them. You would watch over them, protect them, Lord, and help them to come to know you more throughout their college years. We pray for our nation as well, God. We are in a time of much political and social unrest, and we're not sure where this country is going. We pray for our leadership. We pray for you to grant them wisdom, wisdom that comes not from man but from above, that you would lead and guide our leaders. We just thank you so much, God, for who you are and what you've done. We come before you this morning eager to hear what you have to say to us through your words. So we do pray for Pastor Larry that you would anoint his lips, speak forth your truth through him. Open our hearts, Lord, to receive what you have to say to us this morning. We thank you again for this time of worship. May everything that we do glorify you and exalt you because you're so amazing, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Last night we had a fantastic pool party, and it was neat to be able to see some new friends come join us. So if you didn't get a chance to come out last night, we hope that you'd be able to come join us in the future. It was just it's a out-of-the-box kind of way to be able to reach out to people and to let them know that that there's a caring community, and that's definitely one of the characteristics of this church body, and I definitely appreciate that. Last week, I flubbed. We were going over the Lord's Prayer, and I totally did not get it right. So, I need your help. And I'm looking at, I see some really viable brains here. So I'm sure that you guys will be fantastic at doing this. All right. Okay. So, what we're going to try to do is, I did this when I was working with Good News Club. In the local elementary schools. It was just like a Bible club and outreach. And, sorry, I have a little bit of a tickle in my throat there. So let's go through it, and then I'm going to start taking words away, and then let's see how we could fill in the blanks, okay? I think we'll be good at that. So with one voice, if you guys have good eyesight, I try getting everything on one slide so we don't have to go back and forth. But it may be a little bit small, but we'll try our best. All right, let's start out with Our Father, all right? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And then we're not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All right, okay, now, see if you notice the ones that I take away. All right. All right. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All right, you guys are really good. I tried throwing you off with that mid-screen change. But just in case you didn't know, there it is. It's all back to normal. All right, notice what it says over there. It says, your will be done, in the middle of verse number 10. That's a great question for us. How do we know what God's will is? How do we find out what it is for our lives? So we're going to be looking at a passage which deals with that. And if you haven't turned it yet, let's turn to Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. And if you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in front of you. For those who may not, for those who are wanting to be able to follow along with me, if you have a different translation, I put the verses on the screen as well. But we'll be concentrating mainly on Genesis 16, but we'll be going a couple of chapters before to chapter 12, then 13, and then we'll be culminating in chapter number 16. But before we go on any further, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll dive into it. Dear God, we thank you so much for this time we could come together. And we pray, Father, for your spirit to be upon us, Father. This morning has been an unusual morning. It has a lot of twists and turns. But I do pray, Father, that your spirit be upon us, Father, and help us be able to see what your good and perfect will is for our lives, especially in regards to those who are married or those who are seeking to become married in the near future. And Father, I pray that you be the one who speaks, not myself, because if it's myself, it'll amount to not much at all. We commit this time into your hands. In your son's name we do pray. Amen. All righty. How do we find God's will for our lives? It's the greatest question that everyone is seeking. If you're a believer in Christ. In the case of Abram, in this passage, God was gracious enough to give him a direct answer. For many of us, we don't get that epiphany, that God moment. Like if we're taking a shower and then all of a sudden we hear a booming voice. We may think that someone's trying to play a trick on us. They may have placed mini speakers around us and trying to freak us out as we're like washing off all the soap. It may not be like that. It may be coming to us in a dream. It may be God speaking to us in the middle of our dreams. Or we may be looking through a passage and then something just jumps out. And then we see that repeated as we go throughout the day. Could that be God speaking to us? Or it could be an older brother or sister, or even a younger brother or sister in Christ who says something profound, which just sticks within our mind, and we just cannot let go of it. For Abram, it was God speaking directly to him. And first and foremost, let's begin with God's initial encounter with him in Genesis chapter 12. And here he speaks to him about your people. And this specifically points out to Abram's people. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And the mindset behind that is, do you guys want me to switch out of this, by the way? Hey, Keith, do you want me to switch out of this and go with the hand mic? Because it's giving issues. You want me to do that? All right, let's do that. All right.
Yes, it feels like I have a tail dangling behind me. Angela, right before the service, was telling me, that's such a cool microphone. It's not working very well this morning, but that's totally good. All right. The context of this is that God has spoken to Abram and is encouraging him, that God has incredible promise for Abram for the rest of his life, and that through him, many people will be blessed, and many people come from him. And from this promise, we understand that the whole nation of Israel, as well as all the Arab people, this is where they trace their origins from Abram. And the blessing that is being spoken of here is the blessing of Jesus Christ, which came through as one of the descendants of Abram, the ultimate descendant. And for many of us, we trace our spiritual heritage back to Jesus Christ. And through him, we have been blessed. And through this blessing from him, we have an opportunity to be a blessing unto the world that we live in. So we continue on with the great spiritual heritage that we've inherited from Abram. And not only this is in regards to speaking to his people, which eventually becomes our people, we also see God's promise as well. For it says in Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17, "The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, 'Lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south, east and west. All the land that you see I'll give to you and your offspring forever. I'll make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted.'" It's a beautiful picture of what God is desiring to give unto Abram. We had looked at this passage a little bit earlier in the summertime, I believe in the month of June. And it's one of those beautiful passages. Whenever we're in need of divine guidance, God tells us to lift up our eyes. As we lift up our eyes and behold his beauty, we have no doubt that he's the creator of the world, and he's given us incredible promises that we can lean upon. But God doesn't explain the means and the length of time it will take in order for his will to be fulfilled. For many of us in this room, we may have prayed for something for months. We may have prayed things for years. And even some of us in this room, we might have prayed for some things for decades, and yet we have not seen it come to fruition just yet. But that does not mean that God is not going to bring about what he's desiring to see take place. If you have a deep conviction that God has promised you something, then hold on to that promise. As it compares to Scripture, and if it's not something that is against God's will, it's something that we can hold on to. And this is something which Abram is struggling with. Because within all of us, we have a tendency to become impatient. We want to see things happen in the here and the now. We live in the microwave society. We live in the fastest phone possible that can download data. The fastest computer we can get, or for some of us within this room, the fastest car. I'm not going to point out any names of any doctors in this room, but you know who you are. Not that they would ever use all that horsepower. But we all tend to be impatient, and even me in my Toyota Sienna, I'm desiring to get to 60 miles per hour in the 10 seconds flat it takes. All right, some of us understand that. All right. And we have a desire to be able to see it take place within our lives as fast as possible, within our time and our way. So sometimes we do live by this motto, do your best and give God the rest. In essence, we're saying, God, get out of the way. I'm going to get it done now. But many times God says, son, daughter, just let me take care of you. And, you know, that's a hard thing to do. Imagine if you're one of those Olympic athletes and you're warming the bench and you're just waiting to get into the competition. And you're one of the best within your country, representing your country, but your coach says, just wait, your time is not just yet. It could be frustrating. Or you're at work and you're waiting for that promotion and you know you're way more competent than your boss, but your time is just not there just yet. It's those moments we have to be patient. If you're within school, you just can't wait to get your degree, get your diploma. But you can't jump over the process because God has something to teach you through the process. So God's promise. And as Abram shared his promise with his wife, Sarai, she decides after some time that she'll help him out with this promise by making him a provision. Now, this provision is not something that normal marriages would make in this day and age, but this was something a little bit more culturally accepted at the time. But this was not something that God was desiring to see take place. So Sarah's provision. Who makes the decisions in our lives on how God's will is fulfilled? It says in verse number one, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. So if you can imagine the frustration that they're having, and I feel for many couples within this room who may be going through that same process where it feels like a door is being closed. But the great hope and the great encouragement is that we see later on within Abram and Sarai's life together that God opens up a door of opportunity. So for our couples which are struggling in regards to this, continue on. God has not forgotten you, but he gives us hope. The reason Sarai couldn't have children wasn't that she was very old, because we do see later on that she does have children. But because she was barren at this time, God said it was not the right timing just yet. It was physically impossible for her to have children at this moment. But then God is the God of the miraculous. She knew the promise God had given to her husband. And I'm sure she went over it in her mind again and again, feeling the pressure build up. And they waited 10 years, but nothing had happened. How was she going to see God's will fulfilled? It goes on to say at the end of verse number 1, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And that was a common practice during that time. The maidservant would be a means for the lady of the household to be able to have children. So once the maidservant had given birth, the surrogate mom had given birth, she would surrender the child to the one who is the master of the household. And then Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. Once again, it's a very unusual means for us nowadays. But at that time period, it was more common. But this was not what God was desiring. What are some ways that Abram could have possibly responded? He could have said, wait a moment, let's pray about this. It's a very common Sunday school answer. But there's a lot of truth to that. It's pausing and seeking out God and what his will is, instead of trying to seek out the most convenient way to do things or the way that we seem best. Hagar was an Egyptian, not one of their own people. And with her, I'm sure, came a different value system. It could have been a different value system where it was poisoning the household that she had been invited into. The legal custom of that day was that a wife could give her husband her maidservant and that the child born of that union would belong to the first wife. If the man adopted the son, he would have all the legal rights afforded a natural born son. But even though the action seemed to make sense from a human perspective, the family was making life more difficult for themselves. And though it was ultimately in God's will, it brought about great heartache through the family in the time being. There's an interesting similarity between what takes place here in chapter 16 as well as what took place earlier in the book of Genesis in chapter number 3. It's very similar, the language that it is, to the fall that we see when Adam and Eve fell away from God. In Genesis 16, So she said to her husband, Abram, and Eve did the same manner in regards to her husband, Adam. And it goes on to say, Abram agreed, and then Adam listened to his wife. Sarai took, and then Eve, she took some of the forbidden fruit. And then the last similarity, she gave. And lastly, Eve also gave to her husband Adam as well. The outcome from the Garden of Eden, both Adam and Eve, they fell to temptation put out to them by the serpent. She sought wisdom. She sought to be like God. And she circumvented God's better part for their lives. Because eventually God was going to make them to be able to understand good and evil. But the question was, should they have taken it in the beginning? For us to have children at home, my son, I had shared a little bit earlier, he's chomping at the bit to get a driver's permit so that he can drive me crazy. And it's a tension within our household, I must admit. But when I'm sleeping at night, and if he's awake, he could very easily just take my car keys and go for a spin around the neighborhood. He could have circumvented the rules I'd put in place to prevent great heartache within our family. And in many ways, that is what was taking place here. For maybe our young couples who are thinking about getting married, I've heard many a couple say, we're going to get married anyway. It doesn't matter if we have sex before marriage because we're going to get married. But then I've seen many engagements break up when people decide to take something that doesn't quite belong to them just yet. If any of you are thinking of buying a car and you decide, well, I'm going to buy the car anyway, so I'll just take the car right now from the dealership instead of paying first. It's just not going to fly. We can't circumvent God's will and timing. We have to abide in him. Sarai tried to circumvent God's process and sought to carry out his will her way. And she tried to fulfill a divine promise by supplying it with a human solution. And to be honest, many of us in this room are guilty of that, including myself. And she would have saved their family a lot of grief had they sought the Lord's will in prayer instead. But because of Sarai's provision and Abram's submission to it, Abram now had a problem. We see the problem in verses at the very end of verse number 4, all the way up to verse number 6. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. She lifted herself up in pride. And then Sarai said to Abram, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. Brothers in this room who've been married for quite some time, you feel the pain here. I feel it as well. I put my servant in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me. And Abram, being the very sensitive man that he is, says, your servant is in your hands. Do with her whatever you think best. Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Abram's problem, he should have taken the initiative and been the spiritual leader within the household. And because he was reluctant in regards to that mantle that God had given to him, now they were in for a world of hurt. And for us within this room, have we fallen guilty of that? Within my marriage, it's been one of the things. Okay, I'll share with you something. Right. This will probably get me in trouble. But we're amongst friends, so I know that you guys won't do this to me. You won't, like, rack me over the coals and stuff like that. Me and my wife had a long discussion about whether my son should have a cell phone and what type of cell phone it would be. So the conclusion was that we would give him a smartphone. I wanted to give him a dumb phone. But the conclusion was we're going to get him a smartphone. But then all of a sudden, all these games came out that we had no idea would be so addicting. Ah, it's causing a little bit of heartache within our house. Pokemon Go, and just keep on going. But now we have to kind of determine some ways to be able to prevent overusage and abuse. It's my problem. I should have said no. And now I have to work through and find a solution because I am the spiritual leader of the household. Everyone ends up being hurt in the situation when the father is not willing to take the initiative or the husband is not willing to take the lead. And this is something which we have to work on as men. It's very easy for us to just sit on the couch and watch TV, or sit at the desk and just read sports news or watch the Olympics. Instead, we must move from being a potato and solve the problem. And we have to seek God's guidance and His will in regards to that. So for us as brothers, let us man up. But on the lady side, there is also something that we have to consider as well. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 27. I was speaking once with one of the sisters who is in the patchwork sisters class, and she told me, "We're going to talk about the S word today." I'm like, "The S word?" And of course, I come from an unbelieving background, and of course, my mind went right into the gutter. And then she said, "Submission." I'm like, "Oh, whew, okay, got me worried there." But in their minds, it's just as dirty of a word. Because it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 27, "Wives, submit to your husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." The mindset is the wife is not a mat to be stepped upon, but there is a certain order within a relationship, and the husband should be listening to what God has to say. But many times, husbands are listening to many different other things. And the encouragement is just not to the wife within this passage, but also to husbands as well. It goes on to say in verse number 25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." The standard here is actually much higher for the husband. He's called to give sacrificial love, be able to do the very best thing for his wife at the expense of his comfort and at the expense of the things that he is desiring. So actually the standard is much greater for the husband. So for us as men, we must rise to the occasion. But for our wives, there is also the admonition that they are to respect their husbands and submit to them as they are following the Lord. Submit means to yield to. It does not make the wife less of a person. In all relationships, God desires a hierarchy, an order, and biblically, the husband is supposed to lead the family. By not seeking God's way of leading through prayer, the husband went down the wrong path. It's one of those cautionary tales. Hopefully that one we learn from so that we don't repeat the same mistakes. Much like we heard our parents repeat unto us the same mistakes again and again that they had committed so that we don't do the same thing. Since he wouldn't lead, his wife led instead, and then Abram, though he was loving his wife by letting her have her way, he didn't first seek out God's way. And God's way should always be above our way. So the marital roles were not followed. Husbands need to be the spiritual leaders, and wives need to support and help their husbands make godly decisions. And the result of this, we see within this passage that we're looking at in Genesis 16, was judgment. The couple would mistreat those around them. In this case, Abram, I'm sure he went away and he started caring for the shepherds a lot more often. While back at home, Sarai was mistreating Hagar. We're not sure what that means, but it could have been throwing rocks at her. It could have been throwing insults at her. It could have been sticking a foot out while she's walking by, trying to trip her up. We don't know, but it was very bad. It was so bad that she had to leave the household. And for us, could it be that when we're out of order within our relationships, are we mistreating our children, our parents, friends, co-workers? Within our marriages, does one spouse blame the other for all of the problems? If that is so, then probably the marriage relationship is out of whack. The husband loses the mandate to lead the family, and the family falls away from God slowly. But we do want to make a note for those who are single parents. It is much more difficult because you have to wear both mantles. And this is where the body of Christ must come alongside and give as much support as we possibly can. Within every passage, we should be able to point out where Jesus Christ is. And within this passage, Jesus within this passage, as the wife needed to submit to the husband, we as a church need to submit to the Lord in all things, especially the brothers within this room. If not, the church will be in chaos. It will be divided. For it says, a little bit later on in Ephesians chapter 5, this is the profound mystery that I'm talking about. It's about Christ and the church. That is the ultimate picture of every one of our marriage relationships. It should be a reflection of how Christ relates to the church and how God relates to Israel. What can we do with this passage as we just pulled out the giant God hammer? Some things to consider. Men and women are to continually seek out to listen to God first and foremost. Because as we hear His voice, all the other voices start to become less and less. And then our lives become more in order with the way God wants it to be lived. Husbands need to trust God and act upon His direction. And the only way you could ever trust God more is by understanding who He is through His word. And then as you read His word, to act upon it. That's the only way we could become strong in our faith. And wives need to trust that God is directing their husbands. So once again, the great stress is upon the husbands that we need to act more in line with God's word. But wives also have a directive as well. This is a harsh passage, but it's one of those passages that it's a cautionary tale. What can we do within our lives to get him right? Now, for those of us in this room who are not married yet, what could you do? When you seek out a spouse, seek out one who is desiring the Lord and desiring to obey the Lord. And if you do so, your marriage is off. It has a head start above every other marriage. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for this time that we could come together. And we thank you, Father, for you are good. You have given us all roles that we're called to follow. And we're called to, all of us are called to trust in you and your goodness within our lives. So I do pray, Father, you may help us to take this slap to the face, to wake up and to realize that you want us to live a way that where you are honored and glorified. So I do pray for your people that they may do so. And Father, for anyone within this room who is not quite sure about your relationship with Christ, it says within Scripture that all of us are sinners. And Father, that the only way we can ever come into your presence is through our sins being forgiven. We have to realize that Christ Jesus went to the cross so that our sins may be forgiven. All we must do is trust in him and believe that he's died on the cross so that we can be in heaven with you for all eternity. And all we have to do is believe in him and what he's done for us. Father, we place your people into your hands. We pray for your blessing to be upon them. In your son's holy and precious name, we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. A couple of things I took notes of for when the Lord said to Abraham, said to Hagar. It's important that we hear what God is telling us and allow God to speak. Let us rise and let us respond with this song, Speak, O Lord.
teach us, Lord, full of